Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I'm here to help teach people about automation.
I'm Alex Cox, and I'm an automaton in training.
And I'm Rosemary Orchard, and I'm an automaton trainer.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yay!
Welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. The very first question is, Rosemary Orchard your real name before we get a bunch of tweets about it?
It is.
Yes, yes.
It's really my real name. I think my parents thought a really, really long time about what they were going to name a girl. And then they kind of ran out of ideas for a boy. And so they were just like, well, if it's a boy, we'll call it Jack. I'm really glad I'm a girl.
Jack Orchard. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been so pretty. So, yeah.
Doesn't exactly have the same flow.
Well, funnily enough, your name, while incredibly interesting, is probably one of the least interesting things about you, because you are a prolific automator on both macOS and iOS.
Thank you. I try.
Can you just tell us a bit about yourself and how you came into, I don't want to say the scene, but let's be real. It is the scene. We have an automation scene. Where did you start?
Well, there was this app called Workflow, and I somehow ended up on the beta of it, and I was just sort of messing around with it. And then I realized that actually that a lot of the stuff in Workflow was the things that I needed to understand in theory for my second bachelor's degree. So I originally studied languages, and I was an English teacher, and then I decided I didn't want to be an English teacher anymore. I wanted to be a programmer. So I went back to university to do a bachelor's in computer science. And I was there, and I was struggling with some of the concepts, and then I realized that, of course, Workflow as it was then, Shortcuts as it is now, has broken all these down into building blocks, so you don't need to think about like actually typing the stuff, you just drag and drop it. And that's when I got really, really into Shortcuts as it is now, and I just sort of started sharing them with people and sending them to people on Twitter when somebody was like, oh, I wish you could do this on the iPhone. And then we ended up with a Mac Power Users Facebook group, as it was then. It's now a forum. And I just created a bunch of workflows for people.
Thank you for that, by the way, taking that out of Facebook. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so much better that not on Facebook. Nobody's stealing our data. It's always good. So so I started making workflows for people, as it was. I ended up on an episode of MPU, and that's how I was discovered, as you might say.
To take a quick step back, I knew that you had gone to university
Was that a British accent?
You know what? I don't know what happened there. As you were at university. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, no, that's in the show for sure.
Let's go
I knew
to college.
That you had gone and gotten. I knew that you'd gone to what we Americans would call a college and gotten a second degree. But did you start then doing Shortcuts? Like, how did you get on that beta? Were you just struggling and like checking out different stuff on iOS?
I just stumbled across it on Reddit at some point. It must have been like a really upvoted, submission or something.
Oh, you're such a nerd. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't even remember. I worked there and I don't remember how we got beta testers. I think maybe if people asked us.
Or maybe I emailed because there was something that wasn't working as I was expecting. And I think Ari sent me like a super detailed response, basically telling me that I was a bit of an idiot and I was doing it wrong. but in much, much politer terms, because he's super lovely. but it's like, no, that doesn't work like that. You need to do this, which made a lot of sense. I was trying to use a menu as a list and I wasn't getting any text back.
Oh, yeah, that's totally. I worked there and did not understand that at the time. So you're not an idiot. It's confusing.
Exactly. And especially when you're getting started, these things are difficult. And I think it might have been that way that I was invited to the beta, actually. And then I ended up on the subreddit. I don't remember. It was one way or the other. But I know that I've definitely emailed back and forth with the guys when they were still working at Workflow. I've obviously not had any contact with them except filing radar since they've been at Apple. But that's not a surprise, is it?
So I have a quick question. Did you say that you... you were just starting to learn programming when you were doing Workflow? Like, I don't think I realized. I thought you already were, but...
Yeah, so I've been experimenting with Workflow for a while. And I was using it as a teacher to help me generate OmniFocus projects every week for all the classes I was teaching. Because I was teaching 6 classes a day, 5 days a week. And I would have to prepare 4 of those every day, you know, making sure that I was getting certificates written for my students because these were intensive week-long courses. So everybody got a certificate at the end of it, which they were all very excited by. Some of them were less excited. students for you. And so I was already using it for that, but I wasn't really doing it very well, I have to say. If I was to go back and look at those shortcuts, most of them are gone because, of course, I don't need them anymore. But if I was to go back and look at them, I would probably find hundreds of ways that I could make them better and faster and quicker now. But yeah, so I was playing with them a bit, but I didn't really understand it or get it. I was just using it, if that makes any sense. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people that just use computers, right? And they don't really understand how any of this stuff works, which is fine. If it works for you, that's not a criticism at all. You don't need to learn how it works and get into the super nerdy stuff. But it can be very enjoyable.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why this show sort of exists, is because I definitely grew up on OS, Mac OS or OS X. But I got into automation just by like stealing stuff from Jason Snell and like doing AppleScript and stuff like that. And I guess I'm an adult now. And I didn't have a ton of time to play with iOS automation. And I stayed away from Workflow because I'm like, there's no way this is going to be a thing. There's no way Apple is going to allow this to exist. And then Shortcuts happened. But now I'm all in on automation, especially on iOS, because it feels so creative. And I'm like more inspired to make things rather than just getting things done on my computer. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Totally. I think especially just even with both of those things, like I didn't know that when I was doing stuff in Workflow that it was programming on like the level that it was, where I didn't know that like repeating and doing ifs and all that was what programmers are doing all day long, just with curly braces added all around it and stuff like that. And that for me brought it down to like the level of, oh, I can do this and get into that creative side, like you were saying, Alex, where it's then not so much of a hardship just to kind of get anything functioning at all, versus like, it's still hard to make a shortcut that fully does what you want to do or in the right way, but it's still, for me, it's now possible where before it wasn't. And that's just, like you said, why we do this show. So that's great.
Definitely.
How many shortcuts have you created at this point?
I have no idea.
you've never been like, you've never just been curious, like a person who's like, how many miles have I driven on my car?
Well, I mean, I can tell you how many shortcuts I have installed right now. So if I count, I have 417 named shortcuts and 477 shortcuts in total. But I was having a sync issue a while ago. We mentioned this
you
in a recent
say.
Episode of Automators. And I lost like 493 shortcuts or something.
Oh my God. I'm dying right now.
When I say lost, I don't mean gone forever, because I backed up all of my shortcuts with a shortcut to back them up, because you have to get really meta with this stuff.
Yes.
So I backed up all of my shortcuts. So I can reinstall. I actually have a shortcut called install missing shortcuts.
Oh, interesting.
What does it do? Yeah.
What it does, because I actually ran into a little bug with it the other day, so I just rewrote it. So when I backed everything up, I backed it up into a zip folder, actually. I backed it up into a folder, but I created a zip of the backup that had all the shortcuts that I was missing. Turned out my iPhone was the one that was the problem, the problem child in this family. And so what I do is I grab the archive and I extract it. And then I do the filter files where, and then I make myself type something in for the name, because otherwise I'm just going to be scrolling through like 900, 1,000 odd shortcuts. Nobody has time for that. And then I just choose from the list, and then it gets the file and it opens it in shortcuts.
Nice.
Which works like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
10% of the time I have to force quit shortcuts, and then it works again.
That's what I was just going to say. I have the same problem of when you're like running a shortcut and then bring something back into shortcuts, it can kind of freak out. And like, even if I have a search entered, it will like not, if I hit cancel, it won't show all my shortcuts again and I have to crash. Oh, I force it to crash. But I probably should have filed the radar, because I even tweeted this yesterday that like somebody was like, oh, the bare notes actions aren't working. And I was like, please always follow your radars, because there are so many people using this app versus the people working on it. And at a certain point, you totally have to. Otherwise, there's no guarantee that, like, maybe Apple needs some QA people to go through every single action, but...
That's going to be really difficult, because it's not just checking every single action. It's checking every action in combination with any of the other actions it can be combined with.
And that's
where stuff is just going to explode on you, because I have no idea how many native shortcut actions are built in now. There's a lot. Plus all of the donated ones, though, thankfully, in general, they only interact with the clipboard. Or they open an application, so maybe they don't need testing as much, and that should be on the app developers exclusively. But still, that's a lot of combinations. And I do feel for the guys. Like, I know they're working hard on this.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what's... It is fascinating. It's like they want it to work for sure, and it's just so technically complex.
It is, yeah.
One thing both you and Matthew have sort of drilled into my mind and gotten me to be more confident about is filing radars. And I think that's going to become super important for just regular users who aren't even using shortcuts, who are just using iOS. Like, I was using the bear stuff. I didn't know there was a HomePod bug. I just thought I was a ding-a-ling and had broken something, which more often than not I do. But by exploring what I've done wrong, it's been so helpful and also encouraging to be like, oh, yes, I did do this thing wrong. I will fix it. Or, oh, no, my favorite notes app. Not okay. Drafts and Bear are kind of, they're both my friends. I love them a lot. But, you know,
they're yes. different things. Yeah, they're different applications.
I feel so torn, though. Their icons are both great, too. So, you know, there's that.
Well, the more the merrier. I don't know.
Okay, Dad.
My problem with multiple notes applications is I then have the problem of where is my note?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and that's interesting.
That's a difficult one, because trying to track down something that you may have created in any of 20 different applications, you may as well rewrite it.
It almost sounds like,
if you can remember what's in it,
you don't think that digital notes are great. I've been teasing this on the show that I have that same problem of no notes system works for me right now, but we'll see now with the new notes actions for shortcuts.
Well, I use Drafts. I actually last April, whenever Drafts 5 went into beta and Agile Tortoise was like, this probably isn't ready for full-time use yet. I just went, all right, full-time use in my doc.
Yep, same.
Challenge accepted.
I think I still have the... I still always want to clear it out, and so I need to, like, retrain myself with that. But yes, Drafts for Mac is fantastic.
Yeah, what I did for this is I created an inbox workspace, which is all of the things that have no tag.
Oh!
And then I have workspaces for everything else. So I can clear out my inbox and Drafts, but I don't clear out everything else. And so I have, like, I have a flagged one, which is basically, it just takes me to the flag tag. Flagged tab, with no filters or anything other than that. And then I've got blog posts and automators and Mac stories and everything else in there as well, which is pretty good. And I'm liking it a lot.
Yes, great blog post on Mac stories about your Drafts workspaces, by the way, because it did.
Yeah.
I saw a couple people being like, this finally clicked for me. So that's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of people have sent me actually emails about that, going, oh my gosh, I actually understand how to use this now. It's like, yay, good.
Yeah.
Taught you how to do something.
I think this is going to be, as everyone has said, Greg, the amazing Greg Pierce, a.k.a. the Agile Tortoise, has made a wonderful, wonderful, brilliant iOS app. And he's also made a very good Mac app. And if you have not tried Drafts because it was only on iOS, please, please, please try it now, because if you haven't played with Drafts, you haven't used all of those automations and actions yet, and it's so fast. And I've been on the beta of Drafts 5. I'm like, weird flex, right? But Drafts 5s and Drafts for macOS, and it's just been seamless. I can't remember the last time I have had a note app this seamless, except like Brett Terpstra's Envy Alt, and I'm very excited about it.
Yes. Yeah. Drafts, I have to say, is amazing. Obviously, when it was in beta, there were a couple of hiccups here and there. And I know that Greg was working really hard to nail those down. And he did. And yeah, it's just great. And it has become my go-to notes application because it's easy to automate. So one of the shortcuts that I actually have is I write a column for the Suite Setup every week, a quick tip showing people how to do something. And I have one that actually it creates the note in Drafts, and it tags it with all the correct tags for me so that I can find it in my Suite Setup workspace. And then it throws it into Airtable as well, because I use Airtable to store all of my Suite Setup stuff, and I have it as a Kanban board style thing. So I have things in an ideas column, and then I move them over to Drafts. And also one of the things I do when I create the draft is I run a drafts action to save the note to Dropbox in a specific, so every note gets its own folder because a folder is an article, and then I can stick all of my images in there as well, which is really nice. If I, for example, I'm taking screenshots on an Apple TV, which if you're running a beta on your Apple TV, then you need to be running beta macOS and you need to have the beta Xcode. Yeah. And that took there me we a go. Lot longer okay. to figure out than I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, how do that? And then, yep, nope, I will not put the effort into doing that.
Well, if you're not running a beta tvOS, then actually all you need is a USB-C cable to plug Apple TV into your Mac, and you open Xcode. You don't need to like have a project or a thing. There's just like in the view somewhere you can pick your devices, and then you can take a screenshot and it puts it on your desktop just like a Mac screenshot.
Oh, interesting.
I
yeah,
thought they got rid of the USB-C port though. And maybe I'm wrong.
No. Okay.
No,
I
that's
remember.
There for diagnostics. I'm pretty certain that's there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Apple Watch has a diagnostics port on it. It's hidden in the watch strap.
I remember when I found that, and I'm like, I'm not supposed to see that, am I? And it was very exciting.
Smart bands confirmed.
just a quick, I know that like we are, there's no way not to get into the weeds with Rose because you're just so freaking brilliant and it blows my mind every time. But you write it in Drafts and then the article goes to a Dropbox folder with the images.
Yeah.
How does that get formatted into being all pretty for Mac Stories or the Suite Setup?
So what I do is I write in Markdown, and I have a Drafts action. So I actually have a couple. I've got a whole I've got a Suite Setup action list for Drafts. And when I open the Suite Setup workspace, then it switches my action list to that action group.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because that makes it a lot easier for me. And you can do this as one of the workspace settings on iOS, that you can specify the action group and also the keyboard group that should be associated with a workspace.
Oh.
Which means that when I open my blog post one, it switches my action groups to my blog post actions, versus when I open my Suite Setup workspace, it opens my Suite Setup actions. And it just saves me a few tabs every time, but that's like one of my favorite features ever. And also, I completely and utterly missed that being released, and I only found out about it like 2 weeks ago, and I've been kicking myself for not realizing that that existed somehow. But anyway, so what I do is I use the title, and I use there's a tag in Drafts, and that's in two square brackets called safe_title. And what this does is it takes things like apostrophes and full stops and hashes out of the title to make it safe to save as a file name. And then I use that to create a folder, and I save both the Markdown and the HTML that Drafts can render as files into that Dropbox folder.
You do both?
Yeah, you can save both.
Is there any reason?
Just in case there's a question about what the HTML formatting is supposed to be, because some Markdown to HTML renderers like do weird things with some symbols. At one point, I used a dash and a greater than sign as an arrow, and it came out weirdly, and it caused some problems for one of the lovely editors over at the Suite Setup.
So it's like a CMS type of thing, or
it might be. I believe they're using WordPress, but it it doesn't matter. Either way, I say both because this way they can also preview the HTML and see the images in line.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Because that's one problem I have with drafts is no images, mm-hmm. but I didn't even think about
it. Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're blowing my mind, Rosemary. This is why we had you on.
Yeah, so what I do is I then have another draft action. And what it does is because it knows the name of the document, it knows which folder to look in for the images, and it lists all of the images, and each image is listed as a button. And then I just tap on that button and it inserts that image right wherever I'm typing.
Like
it's so good.
So that it uses the local reference so that then when I open up the HTML file later, then it's not like listing some really long Dropbox sharing URL. It's just listing, like, I don't know, draftsworkspaces.png.
Hmm.
For example.
Okay.
That's fascinating.
Which makes it a little easier for them when they upload it, I hope.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Can you take a screenshot of the button part? Because I don't think I can fully visualize that, but maybe we can put it into the chapter art.
Just for the people who, for example, may be driving and can't actually look at this. It's a prompt in drafts, and it says pick a file, and there's a cancel button at the bottom. And then between that, there are a bunch of different buttons. And it just says like settings1.png, settings2.png. And if I tap settings2.png, it inserts the markdown syntax, which is an exclamation mark, square brackets, round bracket, the image name, and then another closing round bracket.
Yeah, I'm copying all of this, by the way.
Yeah, I can send you my actions. There, you're going to have to modify them because they're hard-coded to use my folder setup.
Mm-hmm.
But I can send you those.
Please do.
I'm also totally going to try to turn these into shortcuts, maybe. Although, that's always... I have that trouble.
You can. I actually had these as shortcuts to start with. I may still have them as shortcuts.
But still, like the whole complete system in drafts, especially with the tagging, is what I need. I need tags, and I tried to do Evernote, and it didn't work, and oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh, Evernote.
I love Evernote, but it is unfortunately not a great solution for me, so I'm using a lot of URL schemes with DevonThink, actually.
Nice.
Interesting.
I archive, so I don't use DevonThink as a working directory with one exception, that exception being my university studies, because my university studies, there are courses, and then with inside courses, there are blocks, and there are usually 3 or 4 blocks per course. And it's much easier if I just store my notes with the reference material for the block.
Hmm.
So I use Markdown files inside of DevonThink for those.
I think I struggle just with wanting to pay $80 for DevonThink on the Mac. Like, I totally...
You could buy DevonNote on the Mac. That's text only, God. I believe.
Oh, well, I'm too much of a... I'm aspiring to be as nerdy as you, Rosemary, and get to that level of...
But you can upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just spend more money and it fixes the problem.
Wait, upgrading? You can upgrade apps? Huh, I've never heard of that before.
Oh, God.
That doesn't exist.
You both mentioned something interesting as like, you want to make a shortcut to work with drafts. Have you both used that? And also, isn't it a bit redundant? Can I have an example of what like something that you do in drafts and then you send it to shortcuts or vice versa?
So one thing I did before I moved my blog over to WordPress, which I only did this last weekend, so I was doing this until very recently, I was using a content management system for my blog called Grav. Nobody has heard of this. It's spelled Grav. For people who have heard of Jekyll and Hugo, it's very similar. Essentially, it is files in folders, and then there's some scripts that show that as a website. And that means that you save a markdown file into a folder and you save the images into that same folder as that markdown file. And so the way that I was uploading all of my blog posts is I had an action in drafts that would send everything over to shortcuts, and then shortcuts would upload that via SSH. Because I was SSHing into my server,
God,
and creating the file. I'm putting the contents into the file. And this is literally the nerdiest shortcut I had. And I have actually detailed that on my blog.
Oh, that's crazy.
Of how I was doing it. And I need to figure out a new system now that I'm on WordPress. So if Matt's got any suggestions, I'm up to hearing them.
Hmm. Well, I definitely don't use... Like I was saying, I kind of use drafts as an inbox. So I tend to... And it this will probably all change too, but I tend to like have just a ton of notes and then process them using drafts actions into different places. And so there's a lot of times where I would send it into shortcuts, but it's just unnecessary because I can use URL schemes in drafts to accomplish that same type of thing. But also for me personally, not being a coder, I don't know how to do any JavaScript or any of that stuff that drafts can do. And so, I mean, I probably could figure it out. I just haven't taken the time because I am so deep in shortcuts, but it is a lot easier for me to build the whole script in shortcuts as opposed to drafts. But drafts also just has some, like saving to a Dropbox folder is like a direct thing and stuff like that. So it's all a lot more possible. I think the workspace part is what I need because I have so many actions that it then becomes like when I need to use which one is like a mental overload for me. I think it's also, I mean, just in general, I do have like so many automations and not the actual process underlying it. And so like, I can just get into the weeds too easily without having like the actual point of it. But I mean, I just recently started setting up custom keyboard shortcuts for my drafts actions. And that just like blew my mind too, because I can do Command Shift T and it'll just drop it into things right away and come back.
Hey, one thing I did before Matthew. Yeah.
There we go. Alex is one. I've got a couple of points that you brought up, Matthew. So first of all, you said that you do a lot of things in shortcuts, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And especially if people listening, you know, if you've got a system that you understand and you know how to use it to automate stuff, there's absolutely nothing wrong with sticking with that.
Exactly.
Like if you don't have the time to sit down and learn something else, stick with what you know. Okay, and branch out when you get to the point where there's something you literally can't do or you think it's taking much too long. Secondly, I want to say Drafts has built-in WordPress support.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's literally, you can create actions and you can specify different WordPress blocks and you can upload directly to WordPress.
But you can with shortcuts too, and I use that.
You can
and
with shortcuts too.
I think for me, it is the like variables and the text manipulation that I think it all is in Drafts too, but it is, at least for me, I'm like dedicated to shortcuts. And so, I don't know. I totally am down and I feel like I just need to spend like 3 hours on it. But I'm currently a little behind on making all of the YouTube videos that I should be. So,
Well, if you want to steal stuff, then Tim, I'm going to say his surname wrong, Nahumuk. He, in his Drafts 5.4 review that he wrote on Mac Stories, he shared a couple of really good WordPress actions, which do things like they fetch all of the categories from WordPress and all the tags and let you tag and categorize things as you upload them, which is super awesome, and I love it.
I'm going to reread that now.
Yeah, it's amazing. But speaking of time, you've both mentioned this. And Rosemary, how long has it taken you? Like, let's from day one when you started programming to now.
Okay, well, I started doing my degree in computer science on October 1st, 2015. I should point out for people listening who may be curious, I did not finish that degree. I actually stopped doing it and went straight into a master's program instead.
God damn it, Rosemary!
Because that's what I do. I already had a bachelor's degree in foreign languages, and it turns out that actually languages and computer programming have a lot of similarities.
That's cool.
Syntax and grammar are actually fairly universal. You need to understand that they are very different when talking to a computer versus talking to a human. But just like you can accidentally say I'm pregnant instead of I'm full in French, if you tell a computer to do something, it's going to do it.
That sounds like exactly the problem with Siri, but it's
Siri does occasionally have this problem, even when you're speaking to it in, you know, whatever language you usually speak to Siri in. But yes.
That was actually a fairly, I was guessing 2009. So, you know, a bit off. And it's, again, encouraging that, like, the things you do, and I don't want to diminish other folks that I've followed on the internet for years and years, but it's like you came out of nowhere and, like, built a forest or orchard, if you will, of incredible resources. And you, I almost feel like you have different levels. Like there's thing, like not explicitly, but you do say, okay, here's a simple thing you can do, or hey, this is really nerdy, just download this, which I always very much appreciate. And
yeah,
you even said, don't get, I don't know why I'm repeating the things you said. God, I'm like a man in the meeting. You know that thing that a woman just said? I'm going to repeat that.
So here's what you should do is don't get hung up on the start.
Don't worry. Don't go with what you know.
Yeah, God, but there's nothing wrong with going with what you know, is there? Because if it helps you, you've got to do it, right? So Alex, do what you know.
God, I'm gross.
So I noticed something that you said, Rose, about it just takes a few taps, but you still like value that anyways. And I think that's one thing that's fascinating about automation is a lot of people measure it in time saved. And I think in many ways, like there's totally ways to do that. But for me, so much, it's not about just like, oh, it's only a few taps and it only saves 3 seconds. It's that I would never have done this otherwise if it wasn't automated for me, and like bringing that forward.
Absolutely.
Otherwise.
Yeah. And because I mean, all of us have this problem. We procrastinate on stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
And the number of actions it's going to take us to do something is often more of the hurdle than the fact that it only takes 5 seconds to do this. The fact that I have to do 15 taps is the problem, right? Like that's what's making me procrastinate. So that's why I value it.
Yes, you're like preaching to me. Because that's like, I have that, I think I've mentioned it before, but like just large numbers are what is my biggest problem is like, oh, I have to do 10 things. I just like, it's like, oh, my brain gets overloaded with that. But once you're actually doing it, it's not nearly that hard. And
exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like you need to get things done in a way that you have to review what you do every week and, you know, have an inbox and then you sort it out with different, let's say, projects and tags.
But I have 124 things in my inbox that I don't want to sort out. That's God. What I mean. It's like,
God,
I collect too much.
Yes.
Well, part of the reason automation appeals to me, other than I just, you know, love the nerdiness of it, is the same reason OmniFocus and getting things done has always appealed to me, because I can't think about creative stuff or even enjoy an episode of Queer Eye if I'm still thinking about all of the things I need to do. And automation, it's like, okay, because this works well and because I've built it in a way that I can trust, or it's built by Matthew or Rosemary, and I know that I can trust that it works. I don't even need to think about where this is being uploaded to. I don't even, and I have a lot of macOS automations for Final Cut, and I'm just like, yep, it doesn't even need to occupy my brain space. And, you know, with someone that has such a broken brain, if you will, as I do, like getting rid of that anxiety is huge, and I just adore it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't even... Now I'm getting back to like, I have this whole theory about Apple just solves problems completely. And I didn't think about shortcuts being like a solution for anxiety, because you do have this, like, I don't know how to handle this type of stuff. And this gives you a framework to put it into. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever like gotten into the show about how I'm bipolar, but we have talked about like wellness and stuff. And there are days where I'm like, I cannot handle writing something or figuring something out, and I'm just going to do this by hand. But I have a running drafts list of just things to automate. And I think I got this from Merlin Mann. Like, when you find yourself doing something twice and being slightly annoyed by it, there's probably a way to do that in a much more efficient way.
Yeah. I actually do have a little list of things that I would like to automate at some point. And often, like, the act of writing it onto the list will then prompt me to go back and automate one of the previous ones in the list, which is an excellent way to procrastinate, I must say.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to do this next video, so now I have to finish this current one. That's awesome.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
I'm curious, what are two of those, real quick?
two of the things on my list of things to automate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I actually, because I'm really weird, I keep this list in Reminders. I don't keep it in OmniFocus.
Not in Drafts, are they? I'm so confused.
Yeah, so I have a couple of things in Reminders. I have like a shared list of my parents of stuff that they want me to fix on their computers. And then,
that's brilliant.
Well, it's great because they add stuff to it like in advance of me going to visit, and then I solve it with them over the phone before I get there. Oh. And then we have just like a really nice relaxing visit. It's great.
Brilliant. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's in Reminders, so they understand how to do it, which is great, because trying to teach my parents how to use OmniFocus and then when the collaboration feature comes, getting them to share stuff with me, like that's a hurdle they will never do.
So here's how you do custom perspectives. It's like, no.
See, I live in custom perspectives and OmniFocus because otherwise I would have a nervous breakdown.
That's the
because
whole
thing. There's so much stuff in there. So yes.
Yes. Preach.
So anyway, some of the things that I want to automate, one of these just popped up yesterday because David Sparks and I created an Airtable to manage all of our automator stuff instead of keeping it scattered around in like a bunch of different documents and spreadsheets and Dropbox and Quip and Basecamp and everything else that we were trying.
So now you're also doing it in Airtable.
I now have a new item on this to save new show ideas to our Airtable.
Nice.
In Airtable, yeah, because that's something that we're going to need to do.
And this uses their API because they don't have any actions.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the ones that I have on there, which actually I need to check off, is to create a base Airtable shortcut.
That's what I was just going to ask you, is like, how do you reuse parts of what you're doing without... Because that's my problem, is I love the Airtable API. That's like what got me hooked into shortcuts and APIs, but... Then I'm like, oh, I should do this idea. Oh, I'll put it in Airtable. Oh, I'll build this API shortcut. And then I'm like 10 steps into building a shortcut before I like capture the idea or something like that. So what
I did is, and I did do this actually on the way home today, which is why it's not checked off, is I've just built an Airtable basis, which is something that will send a new record to Airtable. And it's just set things up. So it's getting the file that's got my Airtable API key in it. And it's got a space for the URL, and then it's already got the header and the fields dictionary in it that I'm going to need to send.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other information is not in there, just because it's going to vary dramatically depending on which Airtable I'm sending things to. So, for example, the show ideas, I'm going to have to mark it as a show idea, and that's going to be a fixed thing, but I'm going to have to ask myself for one idea. I'm probably going to have to split that in case it's multiple ideas so that I can send 15 ideas to the show ideas table at once.
So would you, just to be clear, and this is confusing because I know the Airtable dictionary specifically, but like, do you just have a fields dictionary and then that's blank? And then what you're going to do is pass in dictionaries that then get used as that variable?
No, I've just got fields. So in the request body, which is a JSON, I've got fields, which is a dictionary, and then I'm just going to fill that with whatever is needed in each one. But the way that I'm going to start all Airtable automations in future is by duplicating my Airtable basis shortcut. I'm going to...
I thought you were using it as a run shortcut where you'd actually repopulate that every time, but...
No, you could do that, but then you have to pass both the URL that you're going to call as well as the dictionary. Mm-hmm. And when I start trying to pass multiple things, I get a little antsy because doing that in shortcuts is a little tricky. And as a programmer, I'm very used to being able to say, okay, function, here is variable one, here's variable two, and here's variable three. And trying to stick stuff together and then take it apart again, just, I don't know, it feels weird.
Mm.
So I would prefer not to do that.
Yes, I totally get that. Just real quick, and maybe I'll cut this. Do you ever use lists to do that, where you put multiple variables in a list and then pass that?
Yeah, yeah, I have done that before, and that works pretty well.
But then it needs to become a named dictionary, and then you're like, that's what I get, is that I get it gets too deep too quickly for like it being useful enough. Or I don't know, the use is all there. I think that's what's hard, but just like...
Yeah.
The breaking apart of functionality and then splitting it across shortcuts can get pretty complicated. And it is like a whole data structure problem in itself, not including what you're putting into the Airtable already.
Exactly. And putting stuff into Airtable can get pretty complicated. Like the specific Airtable that we created has 1, 2, 3, like 15 columns.
Yeah.
In the show planning table. Now, of course, I don't need to send all of those to Airtable. In fact, I probably only need to send 3 because I need to specify that it's an idea. I need to say what the topic is and any notes that I have on this particular idea that I want to store for later. But, you know, it's a case of knowing what I have to give it versus what I want to give it and sticking it all together. And that could be a little bit complicated depending on what you're doing.
I'm glad to hear this because... That's what I do too. And it's like making all those decisions is like all this meta. It is like your own workflow process meta stuff that's not just the content you're creating. And especially, I'm sure you run into this too, you're making shortcuts about shortcuts and how you use it. And then it's like your brain is just like, wait, what? Yeah. Like every once in a while because it's just confusing.
Yeah, yes.
I'm also very nervous right now because we just started using Quip. We've gone through Evernote and Trello and Airtable, and now I feel like we're gonna go back to Airtable, even though Matthew has railed against them because of their iOS app.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you a little sneak peek of an upcoming Automators episode. We haven't even started recording this or outlining this yet, so it's not really a spoiler. But what we're doing is we're using Airtable and Quip. So we store all the ideas and everything in Airtable, and there's a series of sheets in Airtable, but we store all the ideas, and then when we set it to planning or scheduled, if there is no Quip document, it will automatically create document for us based on the topic.
Oh my god!
And any notes.
Do they have an API
have.
Open? I didn't even look into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do this with Zapier actually. Oh, so yeah. Zapier is watching a specific view in Airtable, and then it creates a document in Quip for us.
Okay, I'm writing down Zapier because I want to come back to that.
Yeah, Zapier is really good.
But before we get into further automation outside of shortcuts, I'm curious, like, what are your most used shortcuts? And then is there also some that are your favorite and nerdiest, but not necessarily very regular in usage?
Okay. So my most frequently used shortcut is also my most boring shortcut. It runs two other shortcuts. So at work, we need to summarize our duties and approximately where our time goes, just so that we know that, hey, this project has taken like 35 out of the available 40 hours in the week, things like that, so that we know which projects we need to kill versus which ones we need to get more people on, etc. And so I have created a series of time tracking shortcuts. I have one which can clock me in or clock me out in the day, and it will also start a time tracker. And then the one that I use most frequently stops the current time tracker, asks me to summarize what I've done, and then starts a new time tracker for my next task so that I can do all of that, which it sounds very boring.
What service do you use for this?
This, because of work's requirements, I'm saving everything locally on my iPhone.
So you've built your own time tracking system, is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I also use Toggle. So when I clock in the morning, it starts tracking that I'm working. Mm. And then when I clock out at night, it stops tracking that I'm working and starts tracking that I'm commuting to go home.
That's all Toggle, not so that I've, your customer.
Yeah, so that's Toggle. And then the actual like details of what I do at work are stored locally on my iPhone for security reasons.
Ooh, that makes sense.
Not that I work anywhere super secure. They just don't want things saved on servers which are potentially sitting in the U.S.
So. That makes sense.
I would not be surprised if you were a spy. Like, it wouldn't, you know, in my mind, it's just canon now, I guess. I'm, right. We talked about this briefly before, but I'm looking for a way to sort of make a database of all of my OmniFocus tasks that have been done, completed in a, basically I want to export a perspective of all the tasks I've done for work. Is this kind of something similar, or is it all time tracking rather than tasks you've completed?
So what I do is I do check like which tasks I've completed. So I have a perspective in OmniFocus, which looks for anything in my work folder that's completed and sorts it by completed, so that I've got the most recently completed stuff first, so that if I am checking stuff off in OmniFocus, then I can reference that. But because not everything I do makes it into OmniFocus, because it pops up and it's a well, 20 minute mm-hmm. or less action versus the David Allen recommendation of 2 minutes or less, but sometimes you can't avoid these things, then I just do it. So I also check, we use Subversion as our version control system. Most people have probably heard of Git and GitHub. Subversion is similar, not the same, but similar. I check what I've committed in that as well so that I can use those logs as well. And sometimes I just list the commit numbers in my summary of what I've done, because honestly, if somebody really needs to know exactly what I did, then they can find it out. So
does that mean that the time tracking thing, I think you said you do like type in the task that you were doing and that's all in there also?
Yeah. So okay. I do a summary. Yeah. Because sometimes I'm doing like a 4-hour block and I'm not going to detail every single little thing that I did in that. So I do a generalization of what I was working on because I know if I need more precise information, I have it elsewhere, but it's the 30 character area basically, or at least it's supposed to be. And as I discovered when I imported the reformatted version of this into the Windows application that everybody else uses, some of my fields were too long.
Oh my god. I mean, one of the problems I have at my jobby job, I work at Cards Against Humanity, which is a game company people may have heard of. It's kind of obvious that a lot of us are very flexible. It's always changing and on the fly. And for me, OmniFocus keeps track of what I'm doing so that I can basically be like, all right, here are the reasons like I need the more resources, because look at all this stuff I did, and we could easily get a contractor and an intern to do this, and like what is worth my time and what isn't. But unfortunately, I just haven't been able to time track like what I do during the day at work, because it's like, oh, Matthew knows this. Like, oh, sorry, I'm going to be 20 minutes late recording because I'm being put in a gigantic Pikachu costume. And so it even using the lovely app Timery, which is, I guess, a pretty face of the Toggle app, and it's perfect. I love it so much. It just doesn't really work with how I work. I'm curious, do you have, I know I keep saying that phrase, but it is so, so freaking true. Do you have a way to put tasks, like, do you put tasks into OmniFocus with a estimated duration?
I'm trying to get better at this. So I'm, it's one of these things that I have a perspective called need to assign times. I'm trying to guilt myself into doing that. But at the same time, sometimes I have no idea how long something's going to take because, well, theoretically it's a task, but I may be working on it for like 4 or 5 days. And sure, I can break it down and add subtasks, but these subtasks sort of come up as I'm working on it. It's not really something that you can sit down and plan and say, right, oh yes, you know, like when I get stuck on this, I'm going to do recursion and things like that. It's very difficult to break some of these things out. And so for work, I've decided that in general, unless it occurs to me when I'm doing it, I'm not going to try and bother estimating times. For my personal stuff, I am trying to get better at it, because there are there's a couple of Apple scripts that you can use with OmniFocus. And you can click on them and it can start a timer for the currently selected task. And that is so useful.
I wish you could do that on iOS.
And Alex has just fallen down a rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole Mac versus iOS part is what's, like, Airtable is so good, but its iOS app doesn't. And obviously I can use the shortcuts, but, like, being primarily on iPad, that becomes really limited. And OmniFocus, even like I may be downloading it right now and opening it up, but then it's like I can't collapse lists on iOS, and it's like,
why do you need to collapse lists? I still don't understand.
Well, the difference is that I need to use perspectives, obviously, because that can do it for me. But it is like that still seems like a basic feature of just hiding some of the stuff that I don't need to see in the moment without having to build a whole system around just not seeing everything all at once. But obviously that, I don't know, there's probably OmniFocus people who are like, because obviously that's what it's all for. But I'm just curious, like, how much Is there just like a split between Mac and iOS of automation? Like, is there an easy percentage that you might say, or?
I mean, I pretty much automate everything on iOS, and I try and avoid doing things on the Mac because, I mean, I'm fine with AppleScript. I am, but I much prefer to use JavaScript, and the JXA built into macOS is unfortunately buggy. Hmm.
What is JXA? I know that I've almost
JavaScript
tried...
JavaScript for automation.
Okay. What? Wait. All right. So...
Don't ask me where the X comes from.
Okay.
I don't remember.
All right, cool. That's what I needed to know. It just is what it is. Got it. Thank you.
So you can write scripts to automate stuff on macOS with AppleScript or with JXA. But the problem with the JXA stuff is sometimes the way it talks to the Apple events is not the same way that the Apple script does. And trying to figure out what that is and debug it is a bit of a nightmare.
What about like Python, though? Don't you know Python, or am I mistaken?
I do know Python, and you can automate some stuff on macOS with Python too, but that's not necessarily talking to the Apple events, because the Apple events are essentially the underlying thing on macOS that a lot of automation things talk to. So on macOS, I tend to stick with things like Keyboard Maestro, which can do awesome things. Like when I plug in my Zoom to do a podcast recording, it pops open the audio MIDI manager to make sure that my microphone is set to the right bitrate. And then when I close that, it pops open Skype Audio Hijack and Quip for me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That I can... See, I need to get back into that for like specifically production, because it is... I don't really use my Mac that much, but then I sit down and I have to like set up a bunch of stuff and okay, I'm writing that down too.
Well, also it's reminding me that, hey, I need to double check to make sure that the microphone is set correctly and things like that, because it's always good. Like, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for a while now, and yeah, sure, I know what I'm doing. But if I have a break, or maybe I'm not having a great day and I forget a step and I mess up the audio for a show and we have to re-record it completely.
Yeah, that's brutal.
That's going to suck.
I may have done that with some of my podcasts or my videos. So, yeah.
I've literally never done that in my life.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's one of these things. I just want to avoid issues. So, like, for things that I do, even things that I do fairly frequently, I've just turn it into macros because of the accuracy. And this is something that Dr. Drang said on his blog.
Yes.
It was ages ago. Like, he created a Keyboard Maestro macro to crop a bunch of images or something. And it actually took longer than it would have taken him to do it by hand. But it was accurate. It was right. It was the same every time. And I was there going, you know what? A lot of automation is about just getting it right. And yes, yeah, sure, maybe it takes a little longer. But guess what? It's right. And that's all I care about in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Even what you were saying of like, even though you know how to do it, it's still just like automating it for you anyways. Because then you're just, you don't have to think
about
it.
It's holding my hand as I go through all the steps.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just like perfect. And so real quick, I will admit that I absolutely read that post also. And that's totally in the shortcuts user guide of inspired by Dr. Drang, because it is like time is not the only thing that matters. It's like, here's where you can, okay, maybe it's in the workflow guide. They might have taken it out of the shortcuts guide, but it's like, that is the big thing. It's not just about time. It's about accuracy. It's about the mental effort that it takes to do that. And that one for me is what resonates the most, because I don't have any extra bandwidth to give stupid things that I'm just poking around doing. And when you can automate that, it just makes that so much smoother. And then I can do things on top of it. But I think what is super hard of, Alex, what you were saying about how did it take you 10 years to get to this point, is like, it does take time. And I think that's what a lot of people get frustrated with, is that you can't just like suddenly adopt a whole system and it all does end up being specific to you and what you're doing, that it can just like, it gets discouraging. But or the other thing is that shortcuts can't do 100% of it now, and so it's like, oh, I can only get 90% of the way there, so it can't do it, so I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, I can get 90% of the way there and then just do a couple things and keep going too. So it's like this whole upward climb, but once you're on the top of the hill, it's like, oh yeah, I can do all this stuff now and I can see the horizon. I don't know. I'm sorry that devolved there.
No, it's true though. Like for me, it's honestly really encouraging when I ask you a question and you're like, no, you're right. Or, and I'm indeed right. And this can't happen in shortcuts, because once you start hitting that limit, it's kind of, I don't know, it's sort of satisfying. Like, okay, I've reached a point where I sort of figured this out, and I can file a radar, or I can be like, hey, is this a bug? And I don't want to say, like, it sucks, but it's exciting for me. And I'm like, can't do, what did I... Yeah, I don't know. Something with the HomePod. Most of the shortcuts I make are pranks, to be honest, and pretty good pranks. But it just feels nice hitting that limitation and then doing something like looking at Rosemary's blog or looking at especially what Tichy's doing now with the combination of macOS and iOS automation. That's very, like... That's going to be wild in the next few years with Marzipan or whatever they're going to call it. Like, oh, shit's going to get real.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
So I know that because shortcuts is much more powerful, that is your main way of automation. But what are the, like, big crossroads for you, or intersections, rather, where you're automating on both the Mac and iOS, and you wouldn't be able to do one without the other?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things where, for example, I'll start by creating a data set with a script in something like using something like PHP, just because that's what I use most of the time in my day job. So I'm already in the IDE that I use, which supports PHP. So I'll dump that, and then I'll realize that I need to manipulate it somehow and edit some things. And I will often pass things like that over to shortcuts to do, just because it's easier.
Even than Python or something like that?
I could use Python, but then I have to start changing languages, and Python and PHP are very different. And getting your head out of the I need to open a function with a curly brace and changing it to I need to use a colon to open a function and make sure that my indenting is right is a bit of a head scratcher when you're so embedded in a different language. Python is great, and I do use that, but yeah, not all the time. But yeah, so you can do all these sorts of things. But I do often hand things over to iOS to manipulate it with shortcuts and then send it back. And my time tracking is an example that goes in the opposite way. So throughout the month, I log all of my time on iOS, and it's just saved on my iPhone. And then I do send that over to Pythonista. And that formats it into an XML document. And this is a custom format of XML document for a custom program that we use to summarize our GTs at work. And then I dump that via my work email onto my work Windows computer. And I open that in the Windows application, and it goes, whoop, here's the data, export it as an Excel, send it to your boss, done. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Which is great, because everybody else is there trying to backtrack at the end of the day and remember, okay, what time did I leave to go to that meeting? And I just do it. I have Launch Center Pro NFC tags on my desk.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Actually on, like, the base of my monitor.
Yes.
And so I just tap my phone on it, and it says, like, okay, you stopped doing one thing, summarize what you did, what are you doing now, go.
That's awesome. That's exactly what I was going to ask you, is how do you remember to run that shortcut? Because it's so frequent.
NFC tags on my desk.
Okay.
Because every time I look at my monitor, I'm like, NFC tag. Oh, yeah, I'm switching what I'm doing. I should switch, you know, my time tracking. And sometimes I get it wrong. Like yesterday, I completely forgot a meeting until like 4 hours later. But I actually built into my shortcuts the ability to go back and edit things because that happens.
Oh, no, you're a human being.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you not remember your time tracking immediately? Versus I worked at an advertising agency where it's like at the end of the quarter, it's like, hey, everybody estimate your time for the last 3 months. It's like, this is almost borderline illegal charging them for time we didn't actually spend on this. But
Yeah. And that's, you know, I in some ways, perhaps I'm going over the top because I'm tracking things to the minute, where most people sort of round it off in 5 minutes. But that's literally just because I'm getting the current time in shortcuts and I'm just using it and running with it. I am letting myself edit it. So if I realized, hey, I switched tasks like 15 minutes ago, I can backdate and go back and edit stuff.
But that's perfect. And that's like why, even what we were saying before, of why the automation makes the difference, is because then you can do it. It's not a pain. And you actually have like the real complete data, and those little bits that can slip through the cracks don't. And then you do realize, yeah, like, oh, there's all this time, or I wasn't spending as much time as I want. And that's awesome. That is true value right there, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love doing that.
I think we're running out of time, but one of our final questions, I think, is where, Rose, where do you get sort of caught up? Where have you hit a wall in terms of automation that you wish you could do something and you're just not able to yet because of where iOS is or where macOS is?
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I would love to be able to do. Like, for example, with OmniFocus, being able to, like, grab, for example, a project and turn it into a MindNode document really easily. I know you can do that, and there are ways. But if I could just do that with a script, that would be amazing. But I do know that Omni Automation is coming to OmniFocus this year. It's on the roadmap. It got rolled over from last year. I have seen a screenshot or two, which I'm getting very excited about. And so I'm hoping that with that and the support that the folks over at Ideas on Canvas added last year to do things via URL scheme and shortcuts for my node, I'm going to be able to do that so that I can just grab a project or grab a folder and be like, okay, display this to me visually, because a lot of the time, like, that's one of the things I struggle with, like turning all of these tasks, which I know what I'm doing, but there's so much, being able to like zoom out and get an overview is really useful. And cool. Sometimes I just want it visually instead of in a list. And so being able to do something like that is definitely one of the things I want.
Is that also like the realm, just because we mentioned Zapier earlier, of just anything that just purely isn't even possible with apps or URL schemes or shortcuts? Like, I've been exploring Zapier a little bit more too, because it is like, oh, this can just happen in the background and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, automation, weird, huh? Like actual automation, not just shortcuts. Because at a certain point, I always do come back to that Jason Snell line that blew my mind for some reason, of like, these are keyboard shortcuts for iOS. It's not actually like full automation stuff happens for you. And
I mean, there are a lot of things that I've automated through Zapier and I just don't think about them anymore. So for example, whenever a new Mac pair uses episode lands, a new focused episode lands, or a new automator's episode lands, they get put into their different forums automatically. And I have zero involvement with that now because I set up a Zapier Zap and that's it. Done.
Nice. That's perfect. I think we might need to have you on a live stream or something sometime where we like go to town just looking at all this stuff and
that we can do
building it, because that would be awesome. And there's never enough time in a show to have Rosemary Orchard to teach you everything.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, that's good, because that means that I get to come back and talk to you two again.
Exactly.
Oh, please do. Please do. Rose, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, on the internet, best place to go is rosemaryorchard.com, because that links to the places where you can follow me everywhere, including on my blog. But if you want to find me in person, and you may be around San Jose in, say, June at WWDC, you could come meet me. We're hosting a meetup on Tuesday at lunchtime, and everybody's welcome.
Yes, we will, or I will be there for sure. I'm assuming Alex will too.
Patreon.com/supercomputer. Help Alex get to WWDC and pay for that hotel room or the airport hotel that I might stay at. But I will get there somehow, especially the meetup that you had at the Omni offices in Seattle during PodCon was just so delightful. Oh my gosh. So everybody's gotta go to the WWDC meetup.
Yes, if you're around, please do come. And it's going to be great fun, that I'm very sure of.
I also want to plug specifically the discourse forums you have for both automators and you essentially run the Mac Power user ones. I feel like there's so much information and there are so many kind people in there.
Yes, definitely. So, and I believe both of you are lurking in there as well.
Yes.
Oh, I'm such a lurker. At the very least,
I see you pop up from time to time liking things. So, well, if you like my comments, of course it shows up. I don't go stalking you that often. Anyway,
So, Alex, where can people stalk you on the internet?
As always, at Alex Cox, spelled C-O-X, not the other way, on Twitter and Instagram. How about you, Matthew?
YouTube.com/MatthewCasinelli and then Matt Casinelli on Twitter.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Supercomputer.
See you later, nerds.